Hello, hello. Okay, we're going to get this open mic thing started. So if everyone could take their seats or grab their beers, grab their books. Thanks again, everybody coming out. What a great reading. We're off to a really, really good start in our new home. I hope you guys like it here. We do. So you like it? Good, good. Okay, here we go. There are a lot of people on here without last names, so who knows? I have no idea who they are because they won't tell us. They're secret writers. So we're going to start the open mic with Chuck L. Chuck, where's Chuck? All right, here we go, Chuck.
So I'll enter and sign in, please. My last name is Lanigan. Now you know. All right. So I got a couple of pieces here. I've gotten involved with Pittsburgh Poetry Exchange in the past year, and I was at their anniversary event, and I ran into Joan and got a notice of our little event here. So I thought I'd show up because you're down the street from me in Morningside. All right, two pieces, one pagers. Trigger warning. There's rhyme in these. Suspending disbelief, written while traveling, because I came back from Costa Rica recently. You must suspend disbelief in that the wisdom of crowds will transform your life in the power of clouds for a new and improved day free of strife, sanitized for your convenience, that she's on the pill. That he'll come back to you because he loves you still, and going on vacation will give you both back the thrill. That it's one day at a time, that one size fits all, and the dress you're wearing will make you the belle of the ball. That one little pill will restore your confidence, and the world we have made will finally make sense. That a 30-day money-back guarantee will set us free. That love will find you because it's meant to be. That it's all good, and we never suffer more than we can stand. That God holds the world in the palm of his hand, and the gods whom we worship will make no demand, that the plane you are taking will return safely to land. Thank you. Number two, modernization and monetization. You hijacked my phone, filled it with detritus, come-ons from the ether, occupied my laptop with squatter's rights. Monitor what I do at night, where I shop, what I look for at every store, whom I pine and sigh for. When I seek solace for my loneliness and grief, you send me secrets of healthy aging, six-pack abs, stronger erections, to satisfy a woman every time for the price of one thin dime. While outside the world lies raging at our door, you convince me I must buy more. Is it a losing proposition that we must assume the position bending to the will of some invisible hand with its fingers in the till, rather than take a stand for a liberated land where some things are still free? Air and love and sunshine to warm us in the winter, and the secrets of our soul shared only with a few who choose to know us. Thank you.
Okay, next up we have one of my favorite names. It's my daughter's name. Joni. Where are you at, Joni? Come on up.
Hi, my name's Joni Stamford. I'm a mental health therapist and a mindfulness teacher, and I like to write poetry. So I'm going to share two poems. This first one is called The Inside Story. I longed for some deep, safe haven, a place where I could shelter from life's noise and storms and heartaches. Seeking something physical, the cover of a shade tree, trust, a warm blanket to wrap into, belief, the arms of another who could block out the world, if only for moments of now, love. That safe haven eluded me. I heard the story that maybe I wasn't worthy. I wondered, as I gazed into the deep woods, what lurked in the shadows. As I grew closer to the darkness, I found only myself, my fear, my past dragging behind. Hidden under the brush, amongst the twigs and behind the tallest trees, I found remnants, pieces of who I am, who I long to be, and the fear of getting exactly what I want. Deeper still, I found something more beautiful than I ever imagined. The path to the safe haven is never clear. It's riddled with stones and ditches and muddy spots. It curves and it bends, and sometimes I lost my way. Sometimes I learned I must take a chance on faith. Faith, not something external, not something mystical. Faith is in me. It's in you. Deep in the woods is a safe haven of faith, of a love that runs fluid and free, of a love that roots into the earth and reaches for the sky. Love. It's the inside story, hidden by the wet, muddy earth, the fallen branches, the sweet scent of pines, the critters scurrying about, and the birds calling overhead. In our blind spot, filled by the mind with more noise, there actually lives a stillness, a safe haven of trust, a deep, ever-present love, and a knowing that everything will be okay. I awoke to it all, opened my once clouded eyes, and hooked into this inside story, love. And this next one is Remember Your True Story. Divinity is written on my bones as scripture, woven into my muscles, incandescent in my nervous system. All I have to do is open my inner eyes to read the lines of love and light and remember. I get distracted with what the outer eyes see, with what the trickster in my mind reads to me. But when I move my body with nature, with dance, with divine breath, when I sweep away the cluttered thoughts, I remember. Light and love flow through every cell of my body and gift me with another moment of beautiful life. Troubled life. Complex life. Sad life. Wonderful, happy, amazing life. When I feel and see and remember, I smile like the sun on the clearest spring day. You can remember too. Read your divine chapters and feel them in your bones. Open your truest eyes and see.
All right, next up is Christine. Where are you at, Christine?
Over there. All right.
Okay. This is when my mom got older and I started doing a little bit of writing. She gave me a lot of material, needless to say. So I can just be sitting there looking at her, talking to her, and just looking into her eyes, and this just hit me. Mary's eyes. Her eyes are clear as they age. Their clearness invited me. I wanted to see what they have seen in 94 years. Her mother, father, siblings in the tar paper shack they called home. Her father's desk in the attic, where she watched him pen the paperwork. My father's handsome face, full of surprise in front of the tire store as he is set up by her boss to take her to dinner, then home. Her firstborn, trying to understand why he would not utter his first words. The war, the depression, the rations of food and gas, young men leaving home and some blessed to return. Days that we would never understand now. Her eyes are so clear, even as age has started to cloud her mind. A long sentence will get lost in those eyes. Keep them short, I remind myself. And this one here, I ride horses, and that was just always my place to go away. So I would just escape my horse. It just always made me feel so good. So that's what brought this one around, grounded. If I was asked what it is about your horse that keeps you riding, he grounds me. That is my answer. I thought of this as we went exploring new territory. It's all new, barn, other horses, trails. So many news for me this year. Now it was his turn. Yes, 1,200 pounds of muscle with a mind that says I'm not afraid of that this time, but next time I will be. Yet in the saddle grounds me. So this ride near the lake, as I breathe in the fresh air and turn him around, I softly say thank you with a pat on his neck, for I am now grounded. We can head back.
Next up, we have Margaret Casper Reed.
Okay, driving to work. For 34 years, middle school, high school, for another 10 years, college. I always went down College Avenue. And on College Avenue, there's a sign that says the Emptied Redemption Center. And, you know, we take in all of these words. So this is the Empty Redemption Center. Okay. At the Empty Redemption Center on College Avenue, Elmira places a plaque for all the bums, victims of bum raps, bum rushes, bum steers, failed design parlances, for everyone who's burnt out, worn out, run out of steam. All the recyclables they've pulled from trash bins melt together, become translucent pods, prime real estate. Scarecrows get their straw back. Mail sorters find hundreds of thank you letters with their names on them. Taxicab drivers get to sit in the back seat of Happy's blue taxi, while the meter zips along and Happy puffs on his cigar. On their break, the nurses in 4D get tucked in beds with hand-embroidered pillows, while candy stripers read them Charlotte's Web. All the canaries come back to life, zigzag through railroad bridge trellises. Everyone who's worked a third shift gets to sleep in. And when they wake up, breakfast is delivered by children in footed pajamas, known in the family lore as huggy buggies. Everybody who's burned a bridge gets to swing across the Chemung River on a rope, yodeling, sit in the downtown park, build a bonfire, toast marshmallows, golden giveaways. All the noses that have been set to grind stones pull away, smell, what is that? Mint, of course, mint. All those rusty hatchets that have been buried stay there. Slates wipe cream, clean, glistening like sleds skidding down Reformatory Hill. Never ever coming close to the disaster of the cyclone fence. All part-time employees get full-time benefits and corner offices straight away. Time no longer has to be worked against, measured in light years and test scores, epochs and eras collapse. Everything becomes circa. Everything is coeval, all the same age, just the right age, at just the right time. It all works out at the Empty Redemption Center on College Avenue.
All right. Probably going to get Paul. Is it Zarl? Zadrail. Paul Zadrail. Thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity to participate at Hemingway's open mic. I have 10 lines for you, two poems. First one, walk around oxygen. A feng shui joystick, GameStop curio, toadstool Muppet in Dagburn effigy. How I shrivel the eternal costume. Comparable pretext, lake farm eggplant. Ingraham fodder, and yes, that Ingraham. Wanton organelle with Blood Magazine. The pointless debate and Rorschach flowchart. A unicorn cripple, short stack helix, derelict lard purview, cancel culture. Arguably devoid, what not is hype. Lawn art sycophant, John Deere native dirt.
All right, we're going to finish things off with Mr. Joe Calden.
Gone too soon. I never really knew you. My friend Dan, gone before our 30th reunion. My first friend with a car, a 1982 Pontiac Grand Prix, midnight blue exterior, matching velour interior. The county was our oyster. His life, my life, moody, like that Better Than Ezra song. I remember running through the wet grass, falling a step behind. Our lives later, our separate lives. We were going to meet up for drinks, for conversation someday. Always someday. His life, my life, typical Generation X, never made it to the shining city on the hill. Thank you.
All right, another round of applause for the open mic participants. Thank you all for coming. Tip your bartenders well. There's still some books on the counter. We'll be back in 2 weeks. What's the date? June 11th. So we'll see you then. Thanks a lot for coming out. We appreciate it. Thank you.